Shlomi Kalayim Daf Pei. Mara continues with stories of Rebbe's, the Petira of Rebbe. Mara says that on Ayin Testament base, Tzipuri Amrin, the people lived in the town of Tzipuri, where Rebbe lived. Amrin, they said, Mind the Omalon Rebbe Dama, whoever says that Rebbe passed away, I'm not going to kill him. They obviously didn't want Rebbe to pass away, and they didn't want people to stop davening. So Mela, they said that whoever says that Rebbe died will be pierced with a sword. And the simple pshat is, because as long as people don't know that Rebbe died, they'll still daven for him, even though he died. Vayistas tefila could be mechayim mason. The tefila has the ability to mamash make so obviously if people knew that he died, they would stop davening for him. So the Mela, they said everyone who davened for Rebbe, and they announced that anybody who says that he died should be yidok b'kar, should be smitten with a sword, because the fact that people could still daven, and hopefully even if he died, he'll be able to have tchias ha-mesim if no one knows that he died. Okay, Rebbe said that they were so close. Rebbe had such a during his time, there were so many brachas that was prevalent in the community. The Gemara describes a whole number of them, and that they didn't want Rebbe to leave. And so they said, whoever says that, not Kathina, they Aruch Le'Babak Pafi. Kafi looked at them, and Reshe Mechase, he's covered his head, Molune Vasin, his clothes were ripped. He was in Avelus for Rebbe, and his shoulder, his head was covering like a mourner, and his clothes was ripped. Amalin said to them, Yitzukin Mereelim Tfusin Kalukos Abris. The righteous ones and the angels, the Malachim, were fighting over the Lukas Abris. They were fighting over Rebbe was referred to as the Lukas Abris, that they were fighting over. Each one wanted to keep him. Even wanted to keep them. It was a fight between the upper and the lower worlds. The Malachim wanted Rebbe up there, and the people down here wanted Rebbe here. So Mela, So Mamela, they have to go find out, see what's going on. So when Rebbe died, they came back and they said to him, the Gemara said that they saw that he was mourning, that they would find out, he went to find out what's really going on with Rebbe. And when they saw him the way he's begging, he didn't want to say anything. So they're fighting the upper, the Malachim and the Tzaddikim are fighting. Tzaddikim is those righteous people of Klai Yisrael davening for him, and the Malachim are davening that they want him up there. They're fighting by the Lukos Abir. But the Malachim won, they got the upper hand. Cut the Lukos, they grabbed the Lukos away. Clearly, the message was very clear, that referring to Rebbe. Mar says, Amaleim, those are the Tzipori, the people of Tzipori said, Ramo, the Meich Rebbe, hey, Rebbe passed away, Rebbe died. Amaleim, I've said to them, Otunim Rosan, you said it. I didn't say it, you're the ones that said it. Rebbe didn't want to be able to make the statement because they said to whoever says it, going to say Rebbe died, they're going to be put to death. He didn't want to be put to death, so he never said it to me. He answered in such a cryptic way. They said, you're the ones who said it. I said, Manita, but I didn't say it. And I said that the Atum and Atu Kamanishmeh, was afraid to say that they'd say beferish, that they would be killed. So they're the ones who said, you're the ones who said it, I didn't say it. Mar says, what they do? Karin, they went and tore the begadim. Also, Kari, Kirin, Labapata, the sound of the tearing of the begadim was so many people tore, was so loud that they heard it. Karin, Labapapsa, Mahalach, Tulasanam, the city of Papsa, name of a place which was 3 milim away, a journey of 3 milim, they were able to hear the sound of all the tearing from all the people in Klai Yisrael and see part of that tour for the loss of Rebbe. There were many nisim that took place on the day that Rebbe died. Erev Shabbos was Erev Shabbos. Mishkazu Kol Ha'ir Sevespido. All the residents of the towns all around came to be Maspid Rebbe in the city. They all came to hear Rebbe's Hesped. They all came to be Maspid Rebbe's Hesped. The Moses V'asum Nilebesh Roi. And then they brought the Aron. Then they carried the Aron of Rebbe. They put it down 18 times. 18 different places that they put it down, 18 different places where people gathered along the way. The procession was so large and so big that they 18 different places they stopped where they would give people able to go near the Aron and to tear and to mourn, and they would say, Aspeidim. So they would, mamados, they made 18 mamados. So Mara says that the, and they went and brought his base to Beis Sha'arim, where Rebbe's burial is. They brought him to Beis Sha'arim, where Rebbe's buried. That's where he lived. Rebbe sat in Retri, he wrote the Mishnah, and that's where Rebbe went to when he was sick. He took him to Tzipori, high in the mountain. It was good for his health, but that's where Rebbe lived, in Beis Sha'arim. So they brought him back to Beis Sha'arim, where he came from, where he lived. And and the daytime was extended because it was Erev Shabbos, and it took so long the Levaya that it would have been Shabbos already. So the day extended, Vachamalo Shoka, says the Marfolder, the sun didn't set. Shayomara Kolkaka. The day extended so long that they were able to continue the Levaya, going to Levaya and burying him. And want to see how far it went. They went until they all got back to their house, that they were able to continue. They were able to continue until when? How long did the sun stay up? How long before it got dark? Before Shabbos began? Well, I say it's actually if every person that was there went back to their house, Malik of Islam were able to fill up a barrel of water, and fill out the name of Shabbos, and get ready for Shabbos. Get Shakar Chamo, and the sun said, who's the crowd? Once it was shown, and they heard that, the people got to say, oh, maybe it came in Mechal Shabbos. They heard the rooster crow. Maybe they had made Shabbos started. That's a Basco. Everyone in Basco came out and said, Mishal Rosatzel, Bespeshah Rebbe, whoever's not lazy, and be Master Rebbe, Yivusar, L'chayim Abba. It'll be going, be worthy to wear L'chayim Abba. Ba Mekatzra, except for, even excluding Ba Katzra, the laundry man. And once what happened, it says that the, every person that was mismasped to Rebbe and was misatzel b'aspida were involved in his burying him, zechatu olam haba, except for the laundry man who used to come every day to Rebbe and didn't come on that day. So which means why? Well, explained he wasn't zecha. When the laundry man heard that Rebbe died, Mar says he became so distraught. So like God went to the roof. He went, jumped off, and he died. He was so distraught from the death of Rebbe. Rabbi Basco came out and said, if you look, Sarah, even the laundry man is my roi l'chai olam haba. In other words, even though what he did was wrong, he took his own life. But when he heard that, he missed the spade, and he came that day, he didn't come when he came later, so he missed the spade for Rebbe. He was so distraught that he went and he took his own life. So because he did that, because of the pain of Rebbe's patira, so the melee was okay to be on my bone. The question is, why? If the person committed suicide, why would he, the old freshman of the kasha, why would be, how could the Gemara say, mazumun lo my bone, when clearly he took his life, he's not entitled to anything. So there are many, many different explanations here that Gemara says over here, the reason that the, because of the Maisa, he said that he himself was a sire, but it was a hill of tshuva. He had a hill of tshuva. So a person goes ahead and shows you that he was so upset that he didn't make kind of mitzvah of burying the dead, burying a tamakochim of that nature. And the mamela, his only way his kapara that he felt that he had was doing that. He did it not as desperation, he did it because of a kapara for what he did. And the mamela, that kapara, was so much, so valued that it was in Shemaim, they say that he's Zohar L'Olam Haba. That the, so that's the one opinion. So others say that he didn't actually kill himself, but rather he was on the roof, he was mourning, and due to his pain that he had, you know, he was so, he was careless, he died, not because he, because he wanted to take his life, but because he was put himself in a situation because of his pain and being destroyed on the roof, and then he fell off. But it wasn't that he actually did it. Well, different. And first, I'm explaining as to why, as to exactly he bezoked l'chayel mabo. But the Pashtun Mepharshim explains because in Maisa he because of his tzar, it was like a hero tshuva, and that's why he was zoka. Mar goes back to Rebbe's life. Rebbe Chavi has become a supporter of Rishon Hashanah. Rebbe lived in Sephora 17 years. Then the Pasik himself, he said about himself that Yaakov lived in Egypt 17 years. And Yudah lived in Sephora 17 years. Mar says that we did that Yaakov lived, he was referring to himself. Yaakov lived 17 years, and he, Yehuda, Yudah Nasi, he also lived the 17 years. The same idea that the last 17 years of his life, he was there. He came to the same thing. Yaakov left the 17 years of his life in Mitzrayim. So too, Rebbe said he was the Yaakov of his generation, and Mimele also went ahead and also spent the last 17 years of his life in the also left in Mitzrayim. He left in Tzipore, and so it was his Lagolus that he had to be able to go there. The Gemara says, those 17 years, Rabbi Tolson Shere Shinim and Kashere Shinim. He under Rebbe went through 13 years, which he suffered terrible pain, machine in his teeth. All the years that he suffered, those 13 years, no woman that died in childbirth, there was no woman that gave birth, miscarried, or an unborn child during that time. In other words, because Rebbe, not only of his greatness, but because he suffered so much, when a tzaddik suffers, he suffers on behalf of the tzibur, on behalf of the generation, on behalf of the dor. Therefore, there was a schus that came, and nobody, no woman was miscarried, and no woman was mapil, and no woman died because of the Rebbe's the terrors the Rebbe had, the physical pain that he had in his goof, in his teeth, and his goof caused them the machaper and everybody's, not only his but all of Klai Yisrael's sorrows. Why do you have pain in his teeth? What was the reason for teeth? Marcus Kazmanov, when the river was passing by, famous story, he saw a calf ready to be slaughtered, and he went and hid by Rebbe's garment. He went to hit on the Rebbe's bar. He was afraid to be slaughtered. Go, Rebbe, berated the cow, and he said, go, Rebbe, he said to him, Rebbe, excuse me, Rebbe, save me. I'm like Kachan Saad. Rebbe said, this is what you're, so the cow, basically, like, berated to Rebbe, made like a sound. Rebbe understood, please save me, Rebbe. But he said to Rebbe, the cow, you created for this purpose, to be shechted, and therefore you should go up. He didn't have any mercy for him. Even though what he said was correct, but he didn't have the murder, Achmonis, and because of that, he had to be punished. It wasn't that Rebbe, the Pesach Yen was supposed to be put to death. That's what was supposed to happen. But an animal sof l'shchita. But the fact that he came here, and Rebbe should have some achronis on it, some compassion on it, and, and instead of just pushing it away, for that he was punished in his teeth. Had this terrible tzar. Where it says, because again, he didn't say anything, he didn't have the Rachmanis on it, he didn't dive into Hashem for Rachmanis for him, and therefore it was his teeth. Mara says, in the end, how did Rebbe find, how did Rebbe get sofa, and how did Rebbe find relief from this pain? It was such painful. Come to Kadlan Kadkavi Yakor, and he saw one time the servants about to Kadkavi, and they were about to go ahead and exterminate a nest of mice. They were disturbing them, they wanted to go and kill them all. And he said to them, leave them be. It says, don't kill the mice. When Hashem saw that, Hashem said, since you showed mercy to the mice, then obviously he was Meskaper, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Merachim on him, and the pain, after all that time, went away. So that was how Rebbe was Meskaper. At the end of 13 years, this mice happened that caused the pain to go away. Mar says, Rebbe Adnan Sagan, Rebbe was a very humble man, a very tremendous anuf. Mar says, Acharama, he used to say, Kol ma di amali ba nashi, I know, whoever tells me, whatever someone tells me, I'm prepared to do. Chutz mi masha asu zikni b'seir l'zikni. Except for what the elders of b'seiras did for my zokin, Hillel zokin. The Rishon got me to say, because they went ahead and they were dishrod garment. They were parted themselves from being a nasi, from the office of the nasius. They forever excused themselves from being the nasi. And he appointed him instead. So he recognized that he was greater. Maybe Sarah were the nasim of Israel. When Hillel came from Eretz Israel, bubbled, and he saw that he was so. The Gemara goes in detail. He saw that he had so many. He had all the answers to all the questions. Mela, they had a kashaylos they didn't have an answer for, and they saw that Hillel had the answer, so they went in and they stepped down and they appointed Hillel to be the. I said, I have a kabbalah from Shmaya Batalion, and they heard that, they realized how great he was, and they made him turn over the nasiyas to him. So the someone says that the. They appointed him as they said. Yisrael Rav Huna, Veshkusa La'apalef, Rav Huna, Veshkusa would come to Israel, and in most of the life, I would go ahead, and also, I would sit above him. I would put him above me, because he's so greater. He's from Yehuda, and I'm from Binyamin. We know that Yehuda is greater. Yehuda is greater as higher, so Yehuda should be higher, above me. He comes from the male side, and I come from the female side. So again, he's even more directly from the male side of Yehuda. He comes from the male side, from the female side. And the, you know, as Rebbe was saying, I got it from Lucifer, the religion, he'd be so many areas, he would be greater than me. And all these different aspects of him, I'd make him the Rosh Glusa, I'd make him the head of the Nasi, and I would step down. Azman, oh, Rebbe, can be able to go back. One time, the great came to Rebbe. Well, it says, the end of Rebbe's life, he came to Rebbe, and he said, and when he said to him, my Rav Lord, Rav Huna is outside. His Baruch HaBonos HaRebbe. Rebbe's face turned red with concern. Rebbe was concerned that he's sitting as Nasi, and he's outside, and he's the great, great Rav Huna is there. His face turned red. Amalei Chisotim said, no, Arona Ba. But they say, not that he's here. Don't be embarrassed that he's outside, that you're greater than him, that you should give him up your seat. But rather, Arona Ba, his Aron came. Nebuchadnezzar passed away. So Amalei, Rebbe said to him, "Look, help me, my boy, about. Go and see who it is that you need you outside." And Nofik, Lodishka, Banash, he went outside. He didn't see anybody needing him. He didn't know what he was referring to. The other dude caused a light, and he realized that what happened was that he was angry at him. You know, we told him to go outside. Someone needs you, but someone actually needed him. But he realized that Rebbe now was angry at him. Why was he angry at him? Because Rebbe didn't tell him that he had died. Now the question: why did he tell him? Because he didn't want to tell him a bad thing. You know, Rebbe should have realized that Rav Huna coming to him would cause him a tremendous pain, because he would have to step down from Resh Galusa. So by saying the Aron came, he would have been said right away the Aron. It wouldn't have got Rebbe so upset. It wouldn't have turned red. So the fact that he had those few seconds that he was upset, he said, Rav Huna made a mistake, and he told him, go outside. If someone's waiting for you, he basically showed he was upset. So Mar says, what did he do? He understood he was upset, so he took upon himself not to come in front of Rebbe for 30 days. A sum of a form of a cheirim, that he took himself to be able to come as a, like he was separated, he should come away from for 30 days. Mar says, Rav, my name, Kolder Isa. Rav learned from his uncle, from Rabbi all those days, all those 30 days, Rav learned from his Rabbi's uncle all the different Yisraelis of Torah. After 30 days, 13 years and 30 days, Eliyahu HaNavi came in front of Rebbe in the form of Rabbi the Great. The Malay said to Rabbi, how is my Rebbe doing? Amalei, Chachine Meikale. One tooth is tormenting me. And Malay said, show it to me. Rebbe showed him which one. Rebbe went and put his finger in it, and it touched it, and it was cured. The pain went away. All the pain went away. So Mara says, when he saw that, all the pain went away. Next Rebbe himself came in front of Rebbe. So Malay married Rebbe. Rebbe said to him, how's Rebbe doing? The tooth that's bothering you, how's it doing? The minute you put your finger on it, it's gone. It was cured. There's no more problem. It's all fine. So Yosef Shomar, that moment, he realized what happened. Rabbi's suffering ended. Woe to you, women! Chayos, women who have been pregnant, labor, were giving birth in Eretz Yisrael. Ein lechem uvros shav Eretz Yisrael. Woe to you, pregnant women in Eretz Yisrael. What does he mean? Because he knew that all the years that the Rebbe was suffering, the 13 years, the women were protected, have a protection. Now that Rebbe no longer suffering, it's all cured. He said, woe to you, you have no more protection that Rebbe offered you. So Amalek, he said to Rebbe, I wasn't here yesterday. I wasn't me. I wasn't here. So Rebbe realized that Rechia wasn't there. That must be Eliyahu. So when Hashai Tavinog Baby, from that time on, Rebbe treated Rebbe Chia with an incredible kavod, because now he was zeicher that he came, that Eliyahu came in his image, that he came in the period in the likeness of Chia, Marifulta says, and therefore how much he got greater of a respect he had for Rebbe Chia, he treated him with great respect. Rebbe would come to the study hall of Yom, he would say, Yikaris Rebbe Chia Ruba. Let Rebbe Chia enter first. Let him come in first. Let him sit with all the Talmidim, all the great Talmidim, at the head of all the Talmidim. Amalei Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi. Lefnim emeni. Should he even sit in front of me? Amalei Chasar Shalom. Rebbe Chasar Shalom. Rebbe Chaziah Rebbe Lefnim. He should enter ahead. Rebbe Yishmael Rebbe Yossi Lefnim. He should go even before him. You should even go before him. Rabbi showed great love for Rabbi Shmuel, and he said to him, no, you should go. You should go in. I didn't mean in front of you. You should go in, but you should go in and even before him. You should go all the way to the front, be the front one to sit in, but you should go in front of everybody else. Front of everybody else. So Mara says, oh, Rabbi Yoi Masni, Shifkid Rabbi Yabubi Kamei Shom Yossi. Rabbi one time was going, was praising, relating the praise that he had for Rabbi Yoi, the great Rabbi Yoi, in front of Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. He was great, he was saying how great Rabbi Yoi is, how great of a person he is, how great of a tzaddik he is, how great of a Talmud Chacham he is, how great of a God, he was praising him. Mara says, Chad Zimmer, so one time Rabbi Yishmael, Kamei Gumnei Kavipan, Rabbi Yishmael, one time Yishmael, son of Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yoi inside a bathhouse, but lit by men, Kamu, Rabbi Yoi, didn't give many covered. Didn't give many covered. So Amalei Rishon said to him, the Rebbe, I wouldn't mind that Master Shaka. Is this the one you go and you pray so much? You didn't give me any covered. So Amalei, Mavidlach, what did he do? What did he do that he treated you wrong? So Rishon said, Chanti gavabani, really saved my money. He saw me in the bathhouse and he didn't give me any covered. So Amalei Rebbe, Lachavikon, why did you do this? He asked Rebekia, why didn't you treat this great Rebbe Shmuel with covered? Amalei, when I was in the bathhouse, Gemara says, I will tell you, I didn't even notice him. Yadalai, terrible things should happen to me. When I was in the bathhouse, I didn't even know he was there. I would have treated him with kavod. But I didn't even know he was there. Gemara says, I wish nights in that time, I'm sitting there, Iskaris, Eina, Bechol Sefer, Tilzaka, Gorodah. My mind was completely focused on the entire Agadah and the whole Sefer Tehillim, all of Sefer Tehillim and all of Sefer Agadah. And if I wasn't even focusing on where I was and not noticing anybody there, right from that time, Muslim and Shneidim, Eliyahu ben Yamayu, we give Chia two students to walk with him, Kagonzakante, protect him from any danger. In other words, since he was he was so engrossed in learning that he didn't even know where he was, he didn't understand where he was. It could be dangerous to walk outside. He could fall into a pit. He could go into walk into a wall. He could go into a place he's not supposed to go. So maybe he had two talmidim escort him, that that he should always be protected from any type of thing because he's so involved in his learning. So maybe therefore again. So because he was said, I didn't mean anything. I wasn't disrespectful. I didn't even notice him. I was so focused on my learning that I didn't even know that I was doing anything, and that's why I didn't give him the respect. That is why I didn't give him the respect. Okay, Gemara says that the the great Rav Chia passed away. So Gemara says everyone was still talking about how great Rav Chia was. Rav Yossi im tami in yomim. When he died, Rabbi Yossi, sometime he fasted 80 days. He wanted to be sick this year, Rabbi Chiya the Great in the dream. So he fasted 80 days. So it comes at the end, he was able to see him. But the end of the experience, his hands were shaking and his eyes became weakened. And if you tell me Rabbi Yossi maybe was a person who was insignificant and that's why he wasn't right to it, but carried, he was an incredibly great man. So my dream of the sky was falling. One of you Tamina was holding it up. Some of Yochanan said to the weaver, and you know him? Do you know which Talmud? Can you tell me who it was? Amalei said to Yochanan, in Chamaglei, I don't know who he is, but if I would see him, I'd recognize him. And Achatamlei, I would recognize him in a minute. I called to Yori. So Yochanan brought all his Tamina in front of the weaver. And he pointed out to Yossi, recognized Rav Yossi was the one. He said Rav Yossi was so great that this image, this weaver had a dream that Rav Yochanan obviously believed that the whole world was holding up the entire world, which is a remez that means that his schus of Torah holding up the entire world. So you see that yet he was when he saw Rav Chia and the vision of Rav Chia, he was so trembled that he was ramifications afterwards. His hand shook and his eyes got dim from the vision of seeing Rav Chia. Well, Rav Shimon Kamei Rav Shimon Ben Lakish fasted 300 fasts. The Mechaz Rav Chia Berubah. I don't be able to see the schus of Rav Chia the Great. See him in the chalom, but he was not zeicher to see him. At the end, he was realized. Well, he was so unhappy that he wasn't zeicher. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said to himself, "My avodah yelus is sakin minei. What is Baruch Hu the Great that makes him so far away from me that even after fasting, 300 days, I still wasn't zochah to see him in an image of him b'chalom. So what was the reason? What made him so great? So Gemara said, Amalei, they said to him, and the Shemayim, they said to him, Ribatz Torah b'Yisrael Yosef Mechel, he was Marabitz Torah, much in the Kleisel, much more than you did. Lord, I mean, the gully. And he only that, he only went into Golas for the sake of Torah. Amalei, Shemayim, like I said, l'havinalei. I didn't go into Golas for the sake of Torah. Of course I went to Golas and said, Torah. Amalei, Atavius Goli Mielif, you went into exile to learn Torah, v'avi Golif, Mielif, and he went into Golas to teach Torah. So it's even greater. You're right. You did all the stuff about him and him, you were the same. You both learned Torah, you both went into Golas, you had many Talmidim, you're both great, you both knew Kol Torah Kula. But the difference is that you went into Golas to learn, to your Rebbe to go learn, and he went into Golas to go teaching, to teach Torah, because there was no one there to teach Torah. He went and took the five children, the famous Gemara, he took him the Marla Ritzi, he took him the teacher, he took the deer, the hide of deer, and he wrote Sefer Torah, and he gave each Torah some Tatum Torah, each of them a Sefer, a different Torah, a different Sefer Torah, he taught them all the beginning, so he went for that Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, Rabbatz's Torah, maybe he was even greater than him able to see, that's why you're not able to see Reb Chiya, the great Reb Chiya, as great as you are, look how much great he was, because he did that, and therefore, he was able to go see him, and therefore even further than you. Mark continues a little bit more about the greatness of Rav Chiya. And Mark says, God tamakt Rav Hona Resh Galusa. Many years later, Rav Hona was an Amira. He was from the family of Resh Galusa. When he died, they brought him up to Eretz Yisrael to bury him because he was the famed Resh Galusa, the family of Resh Galusa. And they wanted to put him in, and that's what he wanted. He left in his thing that he should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says that they want to be born in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says that a signal ox, they brought him to Eretz Yisrael. Malay said to Rav Huna, where should we put him? Where should we bury him? Malay, the synagogue of Yochabai, put him next to Rav Chiya, the great Rav Chiya and his sons. To whom in Adoyde, because Rav Huna was from their family. He's a descendant of them. He's a descendant of them. And therefore, Rav Huna wanted to be buried together with him, next to them. So when they said, mind boy Malay, who wants to put the body of Rav Huna there? No, so who's going to go there and dig up the ground next to next to the kvarim of Rav Chiya, the great Rav Chiya, who wants to even go near there? So Rav Chagi said, I know, I'll go and put him there. I'll bury him there. I want to do the mitzvah, and I'll bury him there. I'm not afraid. He was a great Talmid Chacham himself, and he really says he felt that he had this kusim that he'd be able to go in and do the burial. So Rav says, I'm late. They said to him, Ilusa Ot. Boy, you were simply going ahead and want yourself to go in. You're an old man, and you think you want to die, and therefore you want to go there. You really think you want to go there yourself there. You know, you're doing this because you're an old man, and you want to be there. You only want doing this that you should go ahead. You want to be buried in that same spot. So I'm a guy, if that's what you think, that it could be placed upon my feet, and if any reason why, I take any time to get there, you go ahead, you take me away from here, pulling me out. In other words, you could do that. If you see that I don't go ahead and the tie a gold rope around my leg, and if I don't be able to move, I take it off my body, you could take me out of there, don't bury me there. Shalosh went in, he found three who were learning, they didn't want mouth in judgment. And Yehuda ben Yechrech Benod. So he said, Yehuda, my son, there was no one after you. Cheskel ben Yechrech Benod. Cheskel, my son, there was no one after you. And Acharecha Yosef Yisrael Benod. And you, Yosef, the son of Yisrael, there's no one else. Yosef ben Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, there's no one else. Plus, in a mistakla, Rechagi went and lifted his eyes up to see what was happening. Before he could do anything, someone said to him, Apeg Apeg, lower your eyes, because you're not able to see. You shouldn't be seeing this. You're going to hurt yourself. Your eyes are going to be hurt. So I'm a colleague, Rav Chiya, Rabba, Amalei, Rav Chiya, Rav Chizda. Rav Chiya guy heard the voice of Rav Chiya the Great, speaking to Rav Yehuda, and his son, Amalei, Rav Huna, Yasulei. Make room for Rav Huna, because he's going to be buried next to you. Well, keep a letter, Yasulei. Rav Huna, in his humility, didn't want to go. Didn't want to be a man. He felt it was, he's too much, he's not ready for it. So Amaleach is at them. Kama delon kabale masarvale. Just like Avuna didn't want to accept upon him the honor of being buried next to you, next to Rabbi's son. Therefore, Kanzaranis lo pasikle. So two is the sentence will never decease. But continue Yotzim Yishanav. Again, went out of the other Menishmam Shana, Niklo Shanav, and his years were doubled. In other words, he was Zaycha because he came to be buried. He heard this conversation. Then he saw that he, the humility of Avuna, they didn't want to be buried, not right to be buried in that spot. Your daddy heard him talking to the Avos HaKadoshim, and therefore the Avos HaKadoshim, he realized that it was a great schus that he had, that they closed his eyes, he didn't see, otherwise he wouldn't have survived. But Mele, Yibizoko, to be buried in that wonderful place, in that great place. And he said to him that Yibizoko, because he was to be in that Makom HaKadosh, that holy place, because he involved himself in the burial of Hun, when no one else was afraid to do it. He was afraid to do it. But he didn't do it, he went and did it anyway. He wanted to go ahead and do what was right. Amela, he was Ochet, and Tzadikim, all these Yosef HaTzadik, and all the Tzadikim that were there, he heard the bracha that came out to call that he'd be Zochet to live a long life. He was already 80 years old, he was already old when he went in, and when he died, it was double Hikvoshan, double the years, which means you live till the age of 160 because of the bracha that he received at that point.